Hello and welcome to the Packaging News Podcast. This edition is being recorded at the Environmental Packaging Summit in Birmingham, and we have a live audience in front of us today who've been educated on all sorts of issues and topics such as extended producer responsibility, deposit return schemes, and we've had a lot of good strong discussion on e-commerce packaging as well. I'm delighted to be joined on this edition of the podcast by the editor of Materials Recycling World, Corin Williams. Welcome, Corin.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And we'll be talking about all things related to waste management. And one of the great things about this session is that we're going to take questions from the floor at various points. So, not just questions, actually, if you have any observations about what we talked about earlier during this podcast and also from what we talked about earlier today at the event. But it's nice to have you here, Corin, because from my point of view, from one editor to another, I feel like we're kind of out of it a little bit, aren't we? We're reporting on this, on our markets, packaging and material waste management in your case. It's quite nice to have that sort of outside perspective. So how is it, as an editor, I mean, as a journalist, to report on this market right now with everything that's going on, just sum up your feelings, really, in that sense. As a journalist, what's it like?
I suppose it's a privilege in a way, because I suppose this is the most exciting time for the industry has seen for many a decade, really. And I'll put it back in context. I remember when the resource and waste strategy was first launched, right at the back end of 2018, right just before the deadline. We had a round table with many sort of large waste management companies on, and who had only about 2 days to read through all the detail. I think everyone was really quite shocked, actually, just how much detail there was and how comprehensive it was. I think it really strikes me just how interesting it is that all the points that everyone made back then that they're still making now, basically. So everyone said right from the off, they said, well, this has all got to work together. Everything depends on everything else. And what are they saying now? They're saying exactly the same thing. And so as we wait for, you know, we've had a plastic packaging tax, which has done an awful lot of things to shake up industry, but the rest of it hasn't really happened at all. In fact, everything, as far as I can see, I think the Treasury seems to be driving change more than DEFRA does at the minute. This is where I'm going. But anyway, to go back to your question, I suppose. I find it sort of quite interesting because I said we're a trade magazine. I'm there for the industry. I want to speak on their behalf, but obviously I have my own private views, which they do leak out occasionally, which tend to be much more strident, I think, because obviously our industry really wants to work with politicians as much as possible. That's what businesses want to do. Whereas, of course, you and I, we can sit back and have a bit of a snipe.
Yeah. I try and be polite as I can.
Yes, indeed.
And just for any listeners as well, just tell us a bit about your title, your magazine website as well, and how you do.
Oh, thank you. Yes, so Materials Recycling World. It started off back in 1912, just off Fleet Street, and we're just once again just off Fleet Street, and we've been reporting on the markets. So I mean, it used to be animal rendering back then, and dust. That's why they're called dustmen, because that's all from coal dust. So, you know, all these recycling industries, nothing's new there. Go back to before Roman times, really. So we report on the markets, we report on the policies, on the businesses, and we've been going for a very long time now. And it's, as I said, it's a real privilege to be, you know, at the helm of this this venerable magazine. So if you look up mrw.co.uk, you find us all about it there.
And at this exact moment in time, exciting time to report. And you mentioned to me that DRS, deposit return scheme, a lot's been going on. Just very quickly, give us a quick recap on what you're reporting on in this area and how it's constantly evolving.
Good gosh. Well, obviously the war with Scotland is quite an interesting point, isn't it? It's an interesting point. So we have a DRS, which the UK government wants to have a unified DRS, but as far as I understand, Wales still wants to include glass in theirs, but they're not allowing Scotland to. That's quite interesting. I'm not quite sure how that's going to pan out. And the phrase everyone using is political football. And I think every second story we've got on our website is about DRS and what's happening with Scotland. And I suppose, and of course, all the waste management companies, just as much as all the packaging companies, this is where their bread and butter is. They want to know where the flow of money is, because that flows the flow of material. And obviously, DRS is going to change where the flow of material is and therefore where the flow of money is. And it's as simple as that, really. And of course, there are going to be winners and losers, but after a while, things will settle down, one would think, and then a new market will emerge. But to do that, it'll take leadership, really, to break through different arguments and different the different agencies you've got here. So you've got sort of obviously the glass packages arguing with aluminium packages, arguing with the plastics packages, everybody else, and arguing with the waste companies themselves. And it really takes a very bold political leadership, I think, to break through that. We haven't got that at all.
What do your readers make of that, specifically the readers in the waste management side of that?
Well, that's been interesting, because I think the waste management companies, I think they've been so wanting it to work, the resource waste strategy. They were so sort of bowled over by it, really. They're thinking, this is going to set us up. This is going to really show us where we're going. And it's gone from like sort of concern, but still wanting to work with governments, still wanting to be as cooperative as possible. And over the past few months, this is the first time I've seen it where sort of large waste management firms are actually openly criticizing the lack of leadership and writing opinion pieces on that and telling me directly. That's been a real big change. And I think enough is enough. I think people have just really, I think they've almost snapped.
Where do you think this is all going to end then? I mean, do you think we're actually going to have a situation where deposit return scheme might not even exist in any form? I mean, could we be talking about that extreme? Because from where I'm looking at it at the moment, there just seems to be, as you say, it's being treated as a political football. Mm. It feels like it's not ever been any kind of joined up thinking behind
not
between
all,
Scotland
no.
and England, Wales and Northern Ireland. I you kind of just look at it and go, well, maybe they're just going to not do it at all. Is that realistic, do you think?
Well, it seems inconceivable, doesn't it? Especially, you know, since all the contracts are already out there. And there's always arguments in Scotland about who gets compensation for having to do the outlay for the machines and then obviously biffer themselves. They've got a lot to complain about. I think, again, personal opinion, not my industries, but I think clearly the next election is taking precedence, and I think any minister really wants to think about DRS or anything else, EPR, until after that, at which point may well have a Labour government, who knows. It's quite interesting that I think Alex Sobel, who is he's a shadow DEFRA minister, he was on record in Parliament saying that he favoured an all-in DRS. Which we've asked Labour about, but haven't heard anything back. So, again, more unknowns. Do Labour back everything? If they come in, are they going to carry on? Who knows?
I'm going to ask you also about extended producer responsibility as well, EPR, and that, that has a feeling of a seismic change. Again, where do your readers sit on that, and how are they viewing that? I mean, presumably it feels a little bit more plain sailing than DRS, although from what I gather, that's only a little.
yes, of course, when it comes back to the point of coordination, they're making that same point. But I think you're right there that it seems to be R&D versus some of the retail industry. We've had with the Food and Drink Federation, I can't remember, complaining that it's going to cost a $4 billion headache, they called it. Whereas our industry, they think this is it's good for their business, it's good for actually what they want to do, because they do have aspirations. They really want to see, it's not just about making money, it is about improving recycling rates, reduce, recycle, all those things. They are so committed to that. And you know, this happens all across Europe, forms of EPR, and it happens rather well, as far as I can tell. So obviously there's arguments to that. And I think the big thing here is, I suppose, it's the local authorities that really want this to go ahead, because at the minute, our household recycling collections are paid for through our tax, basically. And EPR is one way of shifting where that goes. So rather than your council tax, it'll be on your goods. Which is huge amount of logic about that. And this, of course, when somebody complains about where the money will shift to, I think they often miss out that sort of somebody pays for it somewhere. This waste has to be dealt with. It has to be. There's no option. So who's going to pay for it? How to get paid for it?
And the other interesting sort of observation as well from industry is that actually should government have got the concept of consistency, consistent collection. Should they have got that in place first before EPR, or should they have actually done them side by side? Again, I don't know how your readers react to it. I know that our readers feel like there seems to be something not quite right. Again, not quite aligned.
Yes, you can't do one without that. Well, chicken and eggs, isn't it? I mean, everything has to be all sort of conceived of at the same time. Like I said, going back to the back end of 2018, everyone said this has to be considered as one big thing that happens all at once. Absolutely, because what councils have, councils at the minute, they are often very long-term contracts. So changing those is going to be sort of quite nightmarish anyway. So where's the money going to come to do that? And without any idea about what you will have to collect, in what consistent manner, what vehicles do you get? What bins do you get? All this stuff right on the ground there. They're hopping up and down. They really, really want to know. It has to be doubled at once, but I mean, from what I can tell from I know you had a DEFRA person speaking this morning, which unfortunately I missed, but I would love to ask a few questions there about what's going on.
Well, this is the point where I'm going to put our, see if we've got our roving mic. I think we've got a couple of roving mics somewhere around, and I invite you to, our audience here at Environmental Packaging Summit to ask some questions or make some observations on anything that they've just heard. So if whoever wants to say something, please put their hands up, or try to see if anybody does want to say something. Oh, this isn't good. No one. Oh, yeah, there's one right at the back there. I think it's Margaret Bates from the OPRL. So, yes, if you can. There you go, Margaret, the floor is yours.
I'm just intrigued to know what you both think, once we finally get this first round of packaging reforms in, will be the next big thing.
Just actually think? Once we got them round. Who wants to have a go at that?
Do you think we there's been talk about modulation based on carbon? But, I mean, we know how hard it is to determine recyclability, and recyclability is always current and relatively fixed compared to carbon, which changes depending on what transport your stuff came by. So if we didn't go for carbon, do you think we're going to go full-out environmental labelling, banning more and more different kinds of packaging? As compostables going to actually come into their own for once? What do you think?
Well, I will say, actually, I don't know what the rest of the, what everyone else thinks. It does feel like the focus is very much on recycling, and circularity. And I don't know if it's something that gets lost with citizens or something, but that there are other issues out there, that there are sort of carbon reduction as well. There is sort of that kind of, there feels like the sense that there are bigger sort of issues. We talked about life cycle analysis as well. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes think to myself, how do you communicate those massive kind of topics? And what is important? I mean, ultimately, you probably need to argue that perhaps carbon emission is actually the most important thing. And actually, if you join it all up, it's all roads lead to that. Whether it's recycling, circularity. I mean, what I think about all these current sort of once we've had all these rounds of with EPR and DRS is that maybe that's perhaps where the roads should lead to. And I don't know if that's being either communicated or whether or not that is what's really going on here.
Well, I'll say from the waste manager's point of view, and the Environmental Services Association has often argued for carbon metrics to be taken into account. But I think this is probably where in my industry, MIW's industry, you get sort of the visionaries, and then you get on the ground the waste managers just earning their daily wage by shifting material. And you know, there's a bit of a disconnect there, I think, between like sort of the visionaries and what the practicality is. But yes, certainly carbon metrics is something that's has been argued for. And I think that just as much as packagers have, I think the waste management company understand this just as much and has been talking to DEFRA in the same way as well, I think, making the same kind of case for it. But I think it's this kind of, it almost feels like sort of that's flying before you can walk, almost. I think just to get, you know, consistent collections seems like a relatively easy step. We haven't done that yet, so how can we even think about carbon yet?
You know? Can I ask also, a cheeky follow-up then? If you think carbon might be a step too far, do you think then it's right that we should be treating all recycling as equal, which is what it seems that modulation will do? So whether it's closed loop, downcycling, or chemical recycling, should we be looking at differentiating between those?
Well, I personally think so, yes. I think to some extent, I think dealing with waste is a matter of pragmatism. So I know there's lots of arguments against chemical recycling from a lot of environmental groups. From my point of view, I think that's, well, there is a large amount of plastic that is not going away. That's one way of dealing with it, so why not do that? Yes, in the future, I think that obviously with ideals, you can think about much better design and all those sort of things right at the top of the pyramid, but the, you know, the bottom pyramid isn't going to go away. And actually, there was going to be at the bottom of the waste pyramid, isn't there? There's always going to be a bottom at some point. So it's, you know, you have to sort of take that into account. That I think, you know, your base has to be there. Whether my readership would agree with me on that, I don't know. But I tend to go for a more pragmatic view myself.
Does anyone else have any observations in the audience? Any kind of questions or observations at all? Oh, there's a hand up down here. I think it's Karen Grady from Waitrose. Yes.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah, I think, I suppose just thinking about it, really, I'd like to ask about probably what your greatest fear is, given, you know, plastic tax came in April last year. In many instances, it's driving the wrong behaviour, because actually we know some of the materials and the recycled content is actually greater than the plastic tax. So kind of why would you pay £600, £700 a tonne instead of the tax of £210 now after the inflation change? So, and then we've got obviously the, you know, continuing uncertainty around DRS that we've talked about a lot already this morning. You know, will we actually have an integrated system by nations at all? Where is that going to lead? We've got EPR that's starting. We're all starting to collect our data, yet we don't know really. We've got a reporting form to fill out, but do we really know what we need to, you know, report when and who and how much it's going to cost us? We've got some indications of that based on the information that we know, but of course, as we all know here, there's still a lot of answers unanswered. And then we've still got, you know, consistency in collections that we keep getting told, you know, whenever we get to an event like this or any other forum with any members from government. Sorry, government, but, you know, you are in line for this, is that, you know, it's on its way. So, you know, for industry and for businesses and given everything else that's going on out there, and when we think about, you know, citizens and what, as a retailer, we're trying to do to protect, you know, passing on those costs to our customers and those citizens, you know, what's your biggest fear? What do you think is going to happen, is not going to happen?
Biggest fear, but interestingly, you talk about passing on costs. And passing on costs at a time when there's a massive cost of living crisis, and that we've got so much. You know, citizens are trying to take on so many other things, and that in some ways, perhaps the biggest fear is that people end up just looking at this and thinking, "Oh, this is too expensive," and people end up turning against it and become cynical and perhaps become kind of feeling like, I don't know, kind of feel like this is too much pressure on citizens, and then it passes right along the line because businesses as well feeling the heat, feeling the pressure as well, and scratching their heads going, well, indeed, we don't know what the playing field is. So,
well, it's interesting to say that, because actually we've got an article in our upcoming magazine about exactly the point about how recycling has suddenly got a bit of bad headlines going on. So there's things like fears about having seven bins with, you know, on capitals, seven bins, what a shock. Or the recent thing about wish cycling, which is a very strange thing that came out from DEFRA, which was interpreted as now the government wants you to recycle less. Or there was another report about increased microplastics outside plastics recycling facilities, which I remember seeing the original study of that and thinking, well, that's going to make the headlines before too long, and then there we go. I think it's very frustrating from my readership point of view is that why they've been seen as the bad guys. They're literally cleaning up, they're literally doing the dirty job, you know. And I think there's a great deal of frustration from the waste management companies. But also about the cost as well there. I mean, like I said, this cost it has to be dealt with. The cost is there somewhere. It's just a matter of how that cost gets passed on. Are you going to complain about your council taxes? Or are you going to complain about how much your packaging costs? I mean, that's the dichotomy there, isn't it?
Actually, I have had another thought as well, because throughout all this, the whole sustainable debate, and what started off with single-use plastics and has continued, I think industry has sort of become much more engaged with government, and is doing it more to be engaged with citizens, and is working really hard. And I think that when I look and see some of the stalling of the legislation, when I look and sort of think to myself, well, there's been so much progress that feels like it's been made, and yet maybe that progress gets stalled. And perhaps my biggest fear is that in the end, that progress that's made just sort of like falls back again, and that suddenly you have another new generation of politicians who don't want to engage with industry and just end up constantly berating it. And that's another fear perhaps I have, that maybe this could just sort of, we could have some slippage in the industry, that there's been a lot of sort of momentum, and that sudden delays, whether it's the DRS delays, and it doesn't do business any good either. I mean, it can't do your businesses any good at all to be constantly scratching your heads going, well, I don't know what's going on. I don't know when this is going to get passed. It's the uncertainty just sort of halts any kind of momentum and understanding of direction. You might not agree with where that direction is going in or not, but at least you need some sort of clarity on that. And I fear that without that clarity, progress slips back potentially. I might be over-egging that one. I don't know.
No, I think that is a genuine fear. No, but I think that's something that has come out from the last 5 years, is a focus on collecting data from the sector, from both waste management and the packaging sector. I think that's been there's been lots of really interesting developments there in the technology, and I think that's something which is I mean, this is what you want business planning, and I think knowing where the flow of material is, how it goes through the system, absolutely essential for everybody. That seems to be happening with or without the EPR or whatever, although we hope it does happen. That's going to be useful, whatever. So I think there's been some structural changes in that way.
Stuff. One more question from the room, and I can see Paula Chin there from WWF. There you go.
I've actually got three questions, but I won't ask. I'm trying to decide which one to ask. I guess one of the first ones is, what do you see would happen to the chemical recycling industry, which we know is getting a lot of investment at the moment, should the government decide not to go ahead with mass balance as a way to validate chemically recycled content? That would be my first question. And the second question is around incineration capacity. Are we at risk in the UK of having too much incineration capacity, similar situation that Sweden have found themselves in? And then the third one, I'm really going for it, is how do you think the waste sector would cope if the government decided to ban plastic waste exports to non-OECD and OECD countries? Thank
you. Wow, you picked on three of the most controversial topics in MRW there.
You can count on me.
First of all, so chemical recycling first off. So the idea then is that should chemical recycling, so if you basically melt down plastics and reuse them, take them out of the polymer state, back to monomer state, back to polymer state, should that count as part of the plastics packaging tax, your recycled content? That's the idea. I see that that's been one interesting in MRW the past 5 years, again, actually, even my 10 years, is seeing how this new industry, new chemical recycling industry, has grown from really nothing into sort of being really quite a large player. And a lot of the large oil firms are now have some form of pyrolysis or whatever technology it is that they use. Like I said, I think that just in a pragmatic term, it makes sense to me personally to have chemical recycling counting as your recycled content, and I think that would help boost a young industry. There's a European association now of chemical recycling, which happened in the last few years. It's something that which could be a real growth industry and actually make a difference to our streets. I think this could clear a lot of plastic away. It's a way of doing it without incineration. Again, that's just a personal view. I think our readership will have lots of different views on that. I know you will yourself as well. With energy from waste capacity in the UK, again, that's something which endless debates between various parts of the readership of MRW. It's interesting that only yesterday there was announced a new alliance for energy from waste operators in the UK to try and defend their point. And they often try and make their case in a sort of a green way. I think that really sort of annoys quite a lot of green campaigners, probably yourself as well, actually, in that they claim their technology is actually helping net zero targets because it's keeping waste out of landfill, which is much worse for the environment than a very clean incinerator. Whether we have enough capacity or too much capacity in the UK, you know, I've seen so many different reports on that. I think the market itself is kind of more or less balancing out. I mean, the number of new incinerators have definitely slowed down. There's more merchant facilities on than the ones that local authorities set up through PFI. And that's really to sort of take the slack of this still immense amount of residual waste that we are still exporting. And why are we exporting any waste at all? It makes no sense to me. But as you say, in Sweden, that's where a lot of our waste goes, and in the Netherlands, why can't we do it domestically? And all we're doing is like sort of burning more fuel to get the waste over there to burn it again. So again, my sort of pragmatic sense means, well, let's have our own capacity here. Let that market sort of develop and then slowly shelve off when better technology comes on board. And I forget the third point you made.
It was about waste exports. How do you think the UK market will respond / cope if the government goes ahead with a ban on non-OEC as OECD plastic waste exports?
Right. Oh, well, the recyclers say, well, quite simply, a lot of companies will go bust. They wouldn't be allowed to. Basically, I mean, the way most recycling waste management firms work is that you have it's a matter of where your waste goes at any one particular point. It may be that a facility next door where you usually send it is over capacity, they don't want it anymore, the gate fees go up. You have to do exports, otherwise you have to either go for expensive landfill or stock it, or stockpile, actually, your materials in the UK, which then often on a hot day like this, there'll be a fire, which does happen an awful lot. I mean, that comes through stockpiling. Unless waste keeps going flowing through the system, inefficiently as it is, it still has to flow somewhere. Like I said, I think waste managers are very pragmatic, and exports at this point in time are absolutely essential. In the future, yes. Ideally, why would we export anything? Absolutely. But we need the infrastructure here, which is why we need EPR and DRS and all that kind of stuff. And then the argument goes round and round again.
Comes back to infrastructure, doesn't it?
Right. It
I'm afraid we're out of time. But Corin, thank you very much indeed for joining
me. Pleasure.
And it's always good to sort of like get another journalist's perspective on the industry that we write about. Thank you very much indeed for the questions as well. I'm grilling the journalists. That's not going to catch on, is it? So we'll put a stop to that. But from the Packaging News podcast and from me, Philip Chadwick, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.